The gospel lesson this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. And I'll be reading from the translation, The Message. So even though this passage might be familiar to you, let's listen to it in these new words to describe a wonderful day in the life of these disciples. This is the good news about Jesus. When Jesus got word that John had been arrested, he returned to Galilee. He moved from his hometown, Nazareth, to the lakeside village of Capernaum, nestled at the base of Zebulun and Naphtali hills. This move completed Isaiah's sermon when he prophesied, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, road to the sea, over Jordan to Galilee, crossroads of the nations, people sitting out their lives in the dark have seen a great light. Sitting in that dark, dark country of death, they watched the sun come up." This Isaiah prophesied sermon came to life in Galilee the moment that Jesus started preaching. He picked up where John left off. "Change your life," Jesus said. "God's kingdom is here." Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who later we call Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work, and Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask any questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. A short distance down the beach, they came upon another pair of brothers, James and John, Zebedee's sons. These two were sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their fishing nets. Jesus made the same offer to them, and they were just as quick to follow. They abandoned their boat and their father. From there, he went all over Galilee. He used synagogues for meeting places and taught people the truth of God. God's kingdom was his theme. That beginning with the people, beginning right now under God's judgment, he healed the people of their diseases and of all the bad effects in their lives. Word got around the entire province of Syria. People brought anyone with an illness, whether mental, emotional, or physical. Jesus healed them, one and all. More and more people came, the momentum gathering. Besides those from Galilee, crowds came from the 10 towns across the lake, others up from Jerusalem and Judea, and still others from across the Jordan. Here ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us in it. Though written long ago, it recounts a story just as real as if it happened today. And so we thank you and ask that we might hear what we need to hear so that we can do what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I imagine you all would have answered Mariah's questions just a little quicker today. You think? She can't hear us. Yeah, so you guys do any fishing? Yeah. You know, I'm a great fisherman. I'm sorry, did you hear laughter? Did you see any shoulders just subtly yet noticeably go up and down right then? My wife, Melissa, perhaps was the person you noticed who responded with that gleeful laughter. Yes, I am a great fisherman. And the proof of my being a great fisherman is that I am Melissa's husband. Yeah. You want to know why? There is a connection, Marge. Just work with me. Oh, boy. She does not know where that's going. Yeah, so Melissa and I are dating. This is a billion years ago. Seems like yesterday, though, dear. No, it was a while back. And so we were just dating. And little did I know that Melissa was putting me to the test. Huh? She wanted to make sure I was who I said I was. Although I never said I was a great fisherman, just to say that. Totally never. My dad took me fishing once. He said I talked too much. You're scaring the fish, he said. My dad took me hunting. He was a great deer hunter. My dad loved that. And he ate the deer, so it was like for food. He took me hunting once. Kevin, you talk too much. You scare the deer. He took me flying a lot of times, but still didn't think I was a very good passenger because I slept the whole time when he flew his plane. But I was a great fisherman, and here's why. So Melissa, little known to me, you know, so we go out on the boat, and she hands me a fishing rod. And she says, oh, Kevin, would you mind putting bait on the fishing rod for me? So, well, sure. Sure I will. Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, thank you very much for your support there. I did that. And that worm was big and gooey and yucky. But I love this woman. And so I put it on the, you know, put the little wormy thing there on the little thing they call, what is it, a hook? And it's on the end of this thing, line, on the end of the pole, right, pole. And I put that worm on there. And again, I did not know this, but I passed the test because I could bait a line. Now, I don't think we've been fishing since, honey. But I do know that that test means a lot to me. Just so you know. There are other tests. Perhaps they'll come up later. But so Jesus, in this passage, it's sort of just like I shared already. I mean, he comes up to some fishermen. Now, why were they fishing? Well, they were fishermen. And why were they fishing, fishermen? Well, because that's what they did. You know, they didn't have a store to be a clerk in. Although some of them, you know, like Matthew, he was like a tax lawyer, accountant, a tax collector. But most of them were just fishermen because that's just what people did. If they wanted to eat, what else would you eat? And of course, there were people who were shepherds, and there were people that handled cattle and things, of course, but they weren't found near the coast ordinarily. If you were by the coast and you were meeting people, chances are if they were working, they were fishing. And they weren't fishing for fun. They were fishing for their lives. They were fishing as if their life depended on it. Well, I could have done that, right? I mean, I could put bait on a line. But there's something interesting more that the passage is clear about, but why this isn't quite the right prop. Because although, of course, they've been pole fishing like ever since, you know, fishing it was invented, that is not how they caught fish if they were fishing for a living. How many fish can you usually catch on a pole? Usually one, right? Unless you have some sort of fancy lure or have multiple things where you're catching fish at different depths at the same time. But actually, the kind of fishing that they did was fishing with a net. This is what they did. Do you know how to net fish? Hey, I practiced all night. You want to see? No, you don't. I was warned already. Do not throw the net, Pastor Kevin. There are weights on the end of this net. All right, fine. But look, I want you to see. Now, I know I'm in Cape May, right? So I know that you all know about this. But this is what the disciples were doing. They were throwing their nets. They're probably bigger, probably not made of nylon. What do you think? Probably not. Nah. And these are kind of things that they had to make themselves. You know, that they had to, like, not just know how to fish, as in preparing the fish to eat, but they also had to make their own nets. They had to figure out what kind of weights to use. They had to carry them themselves. That they had to actually be fishermen for a living. And so they throw their nets. And what's curious is that there's a huge difference between fishing with a pole and fishing with a net. So with a pole, you usually only catch one fish at a time. And once you catch it, you just like remove it. You quickly take it off the line, you know, throw it in the bucket or whatever you do, and or eat it, and you're kind of done. When you fish with a net, you have to be much more intentional. In fact, when you're net fishing for a living, you probably aren't like whistling, reading a book, you know, listening to music on your iPhone. You're probably not doing all texting your friends. Probably not. Because you have to be very attentive where you throw the net and when it's time to pull the net up. And when you pull the net up, you probably will get more than one fish. You'll get anything that fell into the net. So that when you're fishing with your net, you have to have good filters on. So that when you remove the catch that you want, you're looking for at that time, might even be a different kind of fish you're looking for, a certain kind of fish, that you remove from the net the fish that you don't want, that don't align with your diet, or it's not the edible fish, or whatever the problem is, and you keep the fish that you do, and then transport them out of the net into something useful. So it's in this setting, oh look, I got caught on the net, this is the setting when we see Jesus come up to the disciples. They were fishing, throwing their net into the lake. It was their work. And Jesus said, "Come with me. I will make you a new kind of fisherman." So think about that. Not pole fishing, net fishing. You know, I remember being taught different, you know, evangelism classes and other kinds of things like that. And they would share traditions that where they made sort of sharing the story about Jesus, they liked this passage. You know, like we liked it. I mean, it's a great passage. It's wonderful. Every passage is great. This is a memorable one when the disciples are called for the first time. But when you have this as your analogy about Jesus says, "I'm going to make you a fisher of people, men and women," right? "I'm going to make you a fisher of people." We sort of can have some unfortunate attitudes about that kind of outreach. If we think about the outreach we do, telling people about Jesus is like a fishing pole. In other words, we don't care who bites. We just want them to bite our line, and we want to yank them in and not see them again. That's the unfortunate, not always, but that's an unfortunate consequence when we look at this passage and forget about the context. The context is not about pole fishing. The context is net fishing, where we have to take care where we throw the net. And we have to take care about what the net is collecting for us. And we have to discriminate what we want in our net and how we use what we catch in the net so that we can move on again and cast our net. The saying, casting your net wide, you could think about being a fisherman with this kind of a net. And no doubt the disciples' net was far larger than this. So Jesus says, "I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of fish." What kind of net do you have? Well, actually, I asked Neil, I'm picking on Neil here. I asked Neil, I knew he was coming to the class this morning, if he had a net. He had one. I bet a lot of you have a net like this, right? Yeah, sure. You have a net. But this is the sort of action that Jesus is inviting us to consider here at Cold Spring Church. We're not trying to invite people to consider Christ or connect with people, bless people's lives through Christ, as if we just want to dangle the lure and just grab whoever grabs. Let them fly over our shoulder into the bucket. It's not what we're about here. No, instead, Cold Spring Church, looking at this passage and its context, we're really in the net business. Or to use another word that may be more familiar, especially for those of us that aren't fisher people, is we're in the network business. We're in the network business. And so our network, think of that. Change it from the net. Now think about in your life your network of relationships. The people you see every day, the people you see every week, the people you see once a month. Think about your family in your net. There may be some people in your family out of your network. Think about your connections at school or at work. Think about your net work like their net, because their life depended on it. You know, the life of Cold Spring Church, the vitality of our community depends on our network. So that's why the question in the sermon title today, what's your net worth? I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm talking about, what is it that your network, who is it that your network connects this faith community to, that it reaches no one else? No one else reaches that person, that family, that street, that neighborhood, the people that think this way or that way. What is it that your net is worth? Because I think God put us on the planet not to be isolated, hermit-like, on some island somewhere, just to live our days alone. And if God did that, then you probably wouldn't be here today. Because that's also fine. Some people are called to that. But congregations are not called to isolated living. In fact, the very word church is the Greek word ekklesia, ekklesia. Ekklesia. And it means to call out. It means to call out. And so that to me, like, sounds like a network to me. So this is why we may invite occasionally, right, all the time, if it were, invite people to worship with you. Now, maybe that's not fun for some people, and it may not be fun. Understood. We want to make it more fun, more enjoyable, more enriching. Or as I shared with the class today, we want your faith to deepen so much that it just inspires you on the inside just to be a blessing to others that you meet along the way. That's what we want of being part of Cold Spring Church. We want you to get the resources you need to be inspired in your faith so that you could reach out in your own way on your network and reach people that only will come into your net. And in order to do that, we need to take special heed to Jesus' words. He said, follow me. Now again, to use the analogy that maybe we've heard and other teachers teach when they just use the pole and not the net. When Jesus said, follow me, did Jesus pick up a fishing pole at any time later that you know of? Probably not, right? He may have. I mean, who knows, right? But we don't have a story about that, right? He wasn't a fisherman of fish. He, of course, might have been and would have been a mighty one. But no, it's not really about the literal pole. But Jesus was inviting the disciples to do something far more, because he said right after that, what are you doing? I'm fishing. Well, I'm going to make you fishers of people. Next words, follow me. Okay, I'll do that. I'll be fishers, a different kind of fisherman. I'll fish for people. Okay, what do I do? Follow me. Well, I want to be a fisher of people. I don't know what that means exactly. Jesus said, follow me. He said, well, I'm not sure. I don't know how to put a worm on a line. I totally don't get that. My hand always freezes up when I pull the pole back, and the catch always gets away. No, not the fishing pole. No, we're talking about your network. Jesus says, follow me. And the very next thing Jesus did was go and connect with some other fishermen. Right? The very next sentence. And then right after that, he goes to a town and finds some more. And the very next day, he goes and he heals some people who were sick. And all of a sudden, the disciples, the words that they heard Jesus say, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Follow me. And they started to watch where Jesus went, and they followed him, and they saw that Jesus' entire ministry was building a network, connecting people. He said, God's kingdom is coming. No, he didn't say that. Here, what did he say? It's like our hymn that we sung first this morning. God's kingdom is here. He said, it's here. Follow me now. Do what I do. Watch what I do. Connect with people. Be a blessing to people. Heal people. Encourage people. Resource people. Tell people a good story about Jesus. The simple things that God's invited us to do, that's what he means by follow him. He doesn't just want us to pick up a pole and catch other people instead of fish. No, he wants us to use our network. And he wants us to connect to people in our own way. Your network's different than my network. Your network might be across your fence. Your network might be in the grocery store. Your network might be volunteering as a tutor for kids at school. Your network might be coming to a Bible study. Or your network may be just inviting a friend occasionally to worship with you. Who knows? Whatever your network is. But God says, follow Jesus in that network. Because Jesus already got you in his net. Cold Spring Presbyterian Church is in the network business. Jesus is the master networker. He is our Savior. And he died on a cross alone so that we wouldn't. So he would call us out from everywhere, from anywhere, all across the area, to come and to follow and build our network so that it has great worth. The connections are meaningful and authentic and real. Our net worth. That's why we go to Bible study. That's why you may want to be in a Bible study. That's why you may want to have a Bible study in your home and invite some neighbors over. That's why you may come to sing or to participate on a team of session or be on the deacons or whatever it is. There's a million things going on here at Cold Spring Church. Projects and activities and events. Whatever it is, it can be part of your network. And you can invite people into that or create your own. But I'm grateful that you are in my network. And I'm glad that we are in this network together and that the net is cast wide so that all can come in. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you've placed us in your network called the church. And we ask that you would help us to follow you, to pay attention to how you connect, that your invitation went to everyone, that you didn't pay attention to a person's class or color or age or language, that you invited young and old, and that you didn't judge, you welcomed. We thank you that you've invited us to follow you, even go into some places that look a little creepy, a little scary, a little different, a little off our expected experience. But we thank you that you invite us still, each one of us in a different way. Follow me, look, follow me. Please increase our net worth, and we thank you for giving us all things through Christ our Lord. Amen.